o'clock this morning, I became the prefect of the Supreme Tribunal of the Apostolic Signatura, and I ceased to be the Archbishop of St. Louis. I am deeply honored and also humbled by the trust which Pope Benedict XVI has placed in me, and I have pledged our Holy Father to serve him with all my energies to the best of my abilities.
That, of course, is St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke. After a rather short stay in the Archdiocese of St. Louis, having made a huge impression, by the way, back in June announcing that he will be leaving for service in the Vatican, we're going to be talking about the departure of St. Louis Archbishop Raymond Burke. Colleen Carroll Campbell joins us here for the first 10 minutes or so of Issues Etc. here in the second hour. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. You can join us with questions or comments. Our toll-free number, 1-877-623-MYIE, or you can email us here in the studio for the next hour, talkback@issuesetc.org. After a brief conversation with Colleen Carroll Campbell, we'll be talking with you. It's Audio Open Lines, a very interesting story from National Public Radio. Christians have had summer camps for as long as Christians have been roasting marshmallows, I suppose, making s'mores, telling stories around the fire. Well, now the atheists, the skeptics, they call themselves the inquirers, have their own summer camps for kids. We'll hear about Camp Inquiry, I think is what they're calling it. It's a skeptics camp, and I want your reaction to it during Audio Open Lines in about 10 minutes here on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE. We're coming to you live Thursday, August the 14th. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Colleen Carroll Campbell's a regular guest. She's St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center. She's author of the book, The New Faithful, and she writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. Colleen, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
What will be the legacy, although his tenure here was rather short, what will be the legacy of Archbishop or former Archbishop Raymond Burke?
Well, I think for St. Louisans as a whole, Burke's outspoken witness on pro-life issues really reestablished the legitimate role of religious leaders in commenting on our political life, especially contentious moral issues like abortion, embryonic research, and cloning. By taking a lot of the heat, as he did, for making some countercultural stands that were completely consistent with Christian principles on these issues, he set a model forth, and I think he helped other religious leaders and just pastors around town kind of come forward and realize that, you know, religion does have a legitimate role in public life. A lot of us already believe that, but because there's such a vitriolic reaction to those like Burke who speak out, sometimes we get cowed into silence. And I think he sowed the seeds of reversing that trend. For Catholics, I think beyond that, he certainly made it clear where the Church stands on these non-negotiable moral issues. And you aren't going to be able to hear too many Catholics pleading ignorance anymore in the St. Louis Archdiocese about what the Church expects of them when it comes to protecting the sanctity of human life. They can disagree if they like, but they can't pretend they don't know, which is something I think, unfortunately, some of them did feel that they didn't know, or at least feel that they could get away with using that as an answer. And Burke, over the course of 5 years, has basically obliterated that response.
The model that so many American Catholics have become accustomed and comfortable with was the benevolent bishop who may occasionally say a few words about the pro-life issue, but didn't enforce anything, and would certainly let kind of take the live and let live laissez-faire attitude toward the Catholic communion table, toward those who openly disagreed with the clear teachings of the Catholic Church. He was not an enforcer, and Burke, although in his personal dealings is as pastoral as anyone I have ever seen, somehow gained the reputation of being an enforcer.
That's right. And I think, I think our current Pope Benedict XVI could certainly resonate with some of the criticisms lobbed against Archbishop Burke. That is, when he was elected Pope, everyone said, oh, that was Ratzinger, the enforcer, the Panzer Cardinal. You know, he doesn't have any pastoral skills. And there's often this idea, and it's well beyond the bounds, I think, of Catholicism, this idea that anyone who takes their religious beliefs seriously, proclaims them publicly, and seeks to enforce orthodoxy within the ranks of their flock is someone who is utterly unpastoral, someone who doesn't understand people, who just isn't nice the way Jesus was nice. And, you know, all we need to do to test this assumption is to return to the Gospels and see what Jesus actually said. You know, we hear a lot about live and let live and anything goes in the name of Jesus. But I seem to recall Christ being very clear that, you know, be hot or cold, but don't be lukewarm. And I think Burke is an example of a leader who takes his duty seriously. And although he loves those in his flock and he does, you know, exhibit plenty of personal charm when interacting with them one-on-one, he's not going to allow people to confuse the faithful by proclaiming that something is compatible with the Catholic faith that clearly isn't.
What is he leaving to do, Colleen?
Well, I think the next bishop is going to have his hands full, of course. I think that's true for any religious leader of such a large and varied flock. But I think he has left a good legacy. He's reinvigorated the pro-life movement. The seminary is bursting at the seams, largest class of ordinance in 25 years. So he's got a lot going. But he didn't have a lot of time here. That wasn't a surprise to those of us who expected that he'd move up and out soon. But the next bishop is going to be challenged with whether he wants to try to continue this legacy, which I suspect he will, or if he's going to be cowed into silence the way I'm afraid so many church leaders today often are. If he's going to play to the media or be willing to take the tough stands, and I hope we get another bishop who's willing to take those tough stands.
I'm thinking about Regali, I'm thinking about Burke. All of them have, and I know this happens at the level of the archbishop. That's the way these things happen in one's ascendancy into through the hierarchy of the Roman Catholic Church. But is St. Louis, in a sense, one of the previous popes and this pope's testing grounds to see if someone has the mettle to serve directly in the pope's cabinet or directly in the pope's service?
Well, that's an interesting question. St. Louis has historically been a very important archdiocese. At one time, just as our city was larger and more important than Chicago, the same was true of the archdiocese. So it's historically been very important. The last two bishops have been a little bit of a departure because they've Regali received the cardinal's hat after leaving St. Louis, which was a little bit of a blow to the historic importance of St. Louis. Normally we had a cardinal as our archbishop, and that will probably happen with Burke as well. But I do think St. Louis is very representative of America in terms of the challenges here. And in you know, there are a lot of excited Catholics and vibrant Catholic parishes, but there is a fair amount of dissent as well. And so it is, in a sense, a bit of a proving ground. But Benedict has shown, not only in Burke's appointment, but in a few others, that he is looking more and more to Americans, to leading American bishops when filling important positions in the Curia. And that's an interesting development, I think, a positive one for the American Church.
Has Burke taught the local St. Louis media, not to get too down on them, because obviously we're both employed in that, but has he taught them something about the caricature that's often made of the more conservative, the more carefully faithful Roman Catholics, especially in the leadership, that you listen to a press conference, you hear what Archbishop Burke, how he dealt with people, a very gentle man, I think a very genuinely humble man in his personal demeanor. And yet, every picture I ever saw of him in the paper or on television, the still pictures, all made him look like he was in a really, really bad mood.
Right, and they'd have this sort of bizarre shadow, I don't even know where it came from, kind of shadowing his face. I mean, by any other standard photography, it would not even be acceptable photography. But yes, there are always going to be some journalists who are incorrigible when it comes to this, and particularly when we're talking about tough moral issues where they have a personal stake in seeing that their view prevails and someone like Burke really rubs them the wrong way simply because of what he stands for. But I do have to say I did see some shift, if not always among journalists, at least among readers and viewers over the past 4.5 years. That is, I think people have grudgingly come to respect Archbishop Burke, even those who disagree with him, because it's clear that he is willing to take a punch if that's what he thinks he needs to do to stand up for the truth. And you don't find a lot of leaders like that Not only is that a rare quality, you know, within Christianity, within the church, it's a rare quality in politics. It's a rare quality in business. And so there is a grudging respect that I think has sprung up around Archbishop Burke, even among some members of the media who clearly disagree with him. And that's a good thing. And perhaps that will pave the way for the next bishop to have it a little less rough than Burke did.
With only about 30 seconds, do we have any idea who that next bishop may be, or if not who, perhaps, is it going to be someone in the same stripe as Archbishop Raymond Burke?
Well, there's obviously been a lot of speculation on this. So one theory is it would be someone with some St. Louis roots, someone like Nauman or Sheridan, someone close by like Finn in Kansas City. But I think as to who's going to have the most say over it, my understanding is that Burke will have a hand in helping to choose his successor. And I think with all that he went through here and all that he did here, he is very deeply invested in the future of this archdiocese. So I'd be surprised if it was someone who was not sympathetic to his goals, which are really the goals of the church. That is defending human life, defending the faith, and making sure that the new evangelization, as John Paul called it, is something that continues. That is the proclaiming the faith once again and anew to a culture that has become increasingly secularized.
Colleen Carol Campbell is St. Louis-based fellow for the Ethics and Public Policy Center, author of the book The New Faithful. She writes a weekly column for the St. Louis Post-Dispatch. In fact, you can read her columns at colleen-campbell.com, colleen-campbell.com. Colleen, thanks for being our guest.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we've got audio open lines, a camp for young atheists, skeptics, inquirers. We'll hear about it, and we'll talk about it after this. We've got nothing against bumper stickers, just bumper sticker theology. And we'd like to send you the new Issues Etc. bumper sticker. You'll find the Issues Etc. logo, slogan, and website address. Simply send your request to Lutheran Public Radio, 1600 Gulfview Drive, Suite 230, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Please include a self-addressed stamped envelope. Good theology doesn't fit on a bumper sticker, but you can tell people where to find good theology, the new Issues Etc. bumper or window sticker.